Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're celebrating over 10 years on the air. It's Monday. Yes, another weekend has gone by. Another Monday I've woken up and gotten in here. 605, write this down, 605-4567 is our phone number if you want to call in. And, of course, you can hop into our chat room at KCNR1460.com. It is the 20th of April, and we're quickly this is really March the 42nd or something. Is that it? The March 50th?
Something like that.
7:05 in the morning news brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. They're the ones that are getting the patients that are rolling in here. We've had Shasta Regional Medical Center on several times, including Dr. Bawa, who is the one treating the COVID-19 patients. And it was we Facebooked that one live. And got over 6,000 hits, something like that, nationwide. It's interesting. Anyway, what's the weather look like today, Ashley?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say happy Cheddar Fries Day and happy Lima Bean Respect Day.
Wait a minute. Wasn't there another one?
Look-alike Day, Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day. I believe it's also Earth Day, but it's a minor holiday.
A minor holiday. Cheddar Cheese Fries.
Yeah.
Wow.
These are the important holidays.
Why don't we get into the county fair fried foods day where they fry everything, broccoli, pickles, ice cream. Did you know you could get fried ice cream? Did you know that?
Fried ice cream is...
I never tried.
No. National Fried Foods Day is October 25th.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
There's your trivia for today. Yeah. Okay. Today's weather...
Oh, good.
We'll have a high of 74 today, and so it'll be a little cooler and a good chance for rain this afternoon, 20% chance of rain. So if you liked yesterday, you'll like today. Tomorrow we'll be back up.
Did it rain yesterday? But it was cooler.
It was cooler. Yeah, we were expecting rain, but it didn't actually rain. It was just sort of a nice overcast. It was a pleasant day.
Got it.
Tuesday we're looking at clear, and we're jumping almost 10 degrees for a high to 82. And then Wednesday into Wednesday night, we are looking at a high of 81, but another chance of showers throughout. Okay. If you are in the mountain areas and listening from there, your chances are much higher than in the valley. But we are getting a little warmer throughout the rest of the week. By Friday, we have a high of 87. So today is your coolest day. If you have a long sleeve shirt in your basket, now's the time to wear it.
All right. Hey, thank you, Ashley. The weather brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson's, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Also, Chuck and Judy Kinney fed the Veterans Clinic, VA Clinic, all three branches of it last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we booked that one, too. That got like 4,000 hits. Isn't that interesting how many people are interested in things like that?
People doing good for other people in a time of stress that always warms my heart.
Our Sonny says, learned how to bake ice cream in the oven in high school. Oh, it's called Baked Alaska. Okay. I've heard of those. Anyway, hey, we are here with Danelle Ewart. Thank you so much for coming in so early, buddy. I mean, a lot of people, and of course, Danelle is head of the Director of Health and Human Services for Shasta County, and you guys are the ones that are on the line everywhere out here, of course. You know, the hospitals get them when they get sick, but you're out there. You're out here trying to prevent it, trying to keep track of all of this, and you've got the final say.
Well, we are busy. We do have an emergency operation center open in Shasta County, and I just want to emphasize that it's a unified command with the sheriff's office and the county fire department. So there's three co-incident commanders running the emergency operation center.
So who runs that, the center? Who's in charge of it?
Well, there's three co-incident commanders.
Okay.
So they move in a group. And they make decisions together about everything.
Yeah, he can't get them all.
There's a representative from my my office, Melissa Janilevich. She's the branch director of economic mobility in my agency. And then Tom Campbell from the sheriff's office.
Okay.
Who normally works up in Shasta Lake, runs mm-hmm. the sheriff's office up there. And Dan Dennett from Cal Fire / County Fire. So the three of them are working together. The organization's quite large now. There's probably 100 people involved in it at this point. And
wow.
So there's quite a crew doing a lot of different things. They've got the four sections and many branches within the sections. And it's up at the Shield Center on Caterpillar, and they've got a large space there where they can social distance and still have meetings and so forth.
Okay. Danelle, tell us what has – this thing came on relatively quick, the COVID, the coronavirus, the CV-19, the COVID-19. And when you saw it, when did it start – when did you start getting hackles up on this? I mean, I guess is a way of putting it. But when did you start thinking that this is going to be something we've never seen before?
Well, I think when we saw what it was doing in China in late January, you know, word came out about what was happening there. I think late January it became apparent that this was not going to be like SARS, where it could be contained to a small number of people, that it was probably going to be quite extensive, that it seemed to be very transmissible from person to person. A lot of times when diseases jump from animals to people, mm-hmm. they're not efficiently transmitted in people. Because it's really a zoonotic disease, an animal disease. But it was clear that this was very readily transmitted. And so that was a concern, because that's the number one thing that helps it spread so readily. And there was a severe aspect to it. And it was unclear initially, you know, what was the case fatality rate, but it became clear over time. So I'd say by the end of January, you know, people were pretty concerned, and people were asking, you know, is this going to be contained in China or not? And they did clamp down, you know, pretty hard there. But by the time they did so, it was already that the Chinese New Year, and people were traveling, and it spread mm-hmm. throughout China. And then that was kind of like game over at that point as far as keeping it there.
Wuhan's a city of like 16 million or something like that, I think. And it's a major industrial city there. And many of them, once this thing started, fled out of Wuhan, from what I understand.
I'm not knowledgeable about that, but I know that's happening in the United States. I know people are trying to go from the high incidence areas to the low incidence areas because it is not evenly distributed at this point.
Yeah. Okay. And then Trump put a quarantine on flights coming in. I think it was in January sometime from China.
I can't remember the exact date, but yes, he did close down. He didn't close down the flights entirely. Because he let Americans come back.
Right.
But and legal residents of the United
right.
States. But if you couldn't come if you weren't a resident of the
right.
United States.
Right. That did that help?
It did help, and they set up a very good quarantine system for that, and so they were putting people in quarantine when they came back. But, you know, it turns out there was somebody who had been in Wuhan who got through the system in Washington State, and that's kind of where things started
and
on the West Coast.
That's where it started.
On the West Coast. On the East Coast, it came from Europe. So.
Right. So when you see something like this happening, do you give a warning order when you're because you're watching this, because you knew as soon as it started spreading the way it did, do you give like a warning order to the county saying – I mean, everybody was looking at it, but it was something like, hey, this is something we're not going to just shrug off here.
Well, things, you know, run downhill. You know, the feds and the state, you know, started ramping up, you know, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, they're supposed to be the leaders in this sort of thing.
Right.
You know, that's a whole nother story, you know, about whether they did their job properly or not. But, you know, the state got busy pretty quick, and then they, you know, the counties are a subdivision of the state of California, so we start getting information from them. And,
okay.
You know, I'd say by mid-February, it was clear, you know, this was the big one. Because we've prepared for pandemics, we've read about pandemics, we know that's a possibility, but it's one of those things in the way back of your mind, because it just doesn't happen very often. You know, once a century isn't very often.
You're yeah, it happened in 1918.
You're going to see it once in your yeah. lifetime. And so, you know, it's something that's hard to really be totally prepared for, because it's so unusual.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here with Danelle Ewert, who is the head of Shasta County Health and Human Services, the emergency, I guess it's the coronavirus, what is it, emergency response?
COVID-19 response, yeah.
COVID-19 response. Over 100 people working in that now, divided into different sections. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. An essential business that's out there still working. This may be the time to have one of their technicians come over and make sure your HVAC systems are ready for the summer. Clean your filters out. Make sure that the air ducts are working correctly, the thermostat. They show up on time. They know what they're doing. They can work on any type of HVAC system. A number of people employed by Alliance Heating and Air. You can give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back with Danelle Ewert.
Year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
The City of Reading has provided utilities to our current casino by agreement for the past 25 years. During this time, we have been one of the city's top commercial customers. In addition to paying for our actual utility usage, our agreement requires us to contribute to the city's general fund to offset impacts from our current casino. This has resulted in us contributing about $3.5 million to the city's general fund to help pay for vital public services that benefit us all. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
For over 45 years, Clegg's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clegg's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clegg's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Radio. Bohemian Rhapsody virus song. You know what? Danelle and I were talking a little bit about this during the break, and it's, you know, it's wonderful. It is, the creativity that comes out. During this, well, you know, you've got nothing else to do. You're stuck in the home. Let's just write a song about the coronavirus and do it with Bohemian Rhapsody. Welcome back. It's 7:20 in the morning here. About 40-something degrees, I think, out there. It's going to be 49 degrees. It's going to be a nice day, but maybe a chance of rain later on. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Jeff Fink, who is the president, CEO of Cornerstone, will be joining us at 8 o'clock to get a firsthand account of what this has done to the banks, to the impact this has had. And I can't wait to hear Jeff, because a lot of the good stories I've heard coming out come from Cornerstone. Not saying the other banks don't do it too, but all the first ones I all heard for the first 10 or 12 people was all about Cornerstone. So we'll find out how Jeff did all that. But we're here with Danelle Ewert, who heads up Health and Human Services for Shasta County. And after you get all this thing going and the businesses are shut down and people are social distancing, we haven't had a new case in a while. We seem to have stopped at 26. We've had over 1,000 people tested, 960 negative cases. We have a couple people isolated, seven people quarantined, things like that. Five counties up here in Northern California had no cases. Do you believe that? Or do you just think they... nothing's been reported.
Yeah, it's important to remember those are reported cases. We have 26 right. reported cases in Shasta County. There's probably, undoubtedly, more. But I don't think tons more. You know, I think that if there were, we would see a lot more cases in the hospital. I think there's only one person in the hospital right now.
Yeah.
So I know MODOC, Lass, and Trinity all report zero cases. It's possible they had zero cases. It's more likely they had one or two pass through, maybe asymptomatic people. You never know.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of our cases came from folks who had essential or non-essential travel outside the county and got infected elsewhere and then brought it back. That is a phenomenon probably a little more common here just because people are going down, you know, for business to Sacramento and Bay Area and so forth a little bit more perhaps, you know, traveling on I-5, whereas up in the places that are more off the beaten track, folks maybe are staying a little closer to home.
Okay. So what we did seems to have worked.
It did. It worked really well for us. We were fortunate, you know, the Bay Area were the first ones to do the stay-at-home order. They were having a lot of high numbers, and then the state followed up a few days later, and the reality is we hadn't really gotten going very much here. We did have a few cases, but our local transmission didn't really get going very much before the stay-at-home order, so it really tamped it down. We did have a little bit. We had some clusters, but for the most part, it worked. And we only had two cases reported last week. We had none over the weekend. So, you know, those are all really positive signs for us.
Now, you know, there was a lot of consternation about a model that was put out last week. Can you talk about it? You said there's more than one part of this. Some people are saying, well, how could this happen? You know, we haven't had any cases. But when I asked you about that, you said, well, you know, you're not looking at the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of models that have been developed. And I just want to make it clear, you know, we don't have the bandwidth to create models here. We didn't create any models. We're just trying to look at the ones that are out there. There's a lot of universities that have put them together. And they all have assumptions of various sorts. And they can't all be manipulated as well as we would like to for our, you know, particular circumstance. And so the one that we highlighted is one that's out there that we felt demonstrated the three possible trends that were worth looking at. So it was, we were looking more at the overall kind of gross picture rather than the minute numbers in it. The numbers aren't correct. You know, the number said we had 12 hospitalizations the other day when we had two. So, we're not saying that the model's perfect. What we're saying is that that particular model shows three trend lines. One shows what would happen if we just kept doing what we're doing. You can barely see it on the graph. I think people miss it. It's at the very bottom.
No, I saw it right at the bottom and it's right off the straight line.
Yeah, and it's very flat, and there's, you know, basically kind of status quo, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got one that, and that's for strict, social distancing strategy that we have. Now, if we did lax strategy, which is really, you know, relaxing some of those things, then you can see that there's supposed to be a big peak in June. And we get beyond the capacity of the hospitals with hospitalizations. And then the third peak is if we did nothing at all, and it's this completely out of control thing.
Right.
So I think the point is that we're trying to see, you know, what would happen in these different scenarios. I mean, obviously, we don't want to do the do nothing thing,
right,
you know, and have this thousands of cases. We also can't keep this thing we have. This thing we have works great for disease prevention, but it's pretty lousy for the economy. So we've got to figure out some middle road, you know. And remember, our endpoint is a vaccine and getting everyone vaccinated. So, I mean, it takes a while, you know, after a vaccine is available to get everyone vaccinated. But that's our goal. That's what's out there, okay? Now, that's quite a ways out, at least a year from now. So what are we going to do between now and a year from now? And the governor is formulating plans that he's supposed to come out with. And just the six things that he talks about is we have to have extensive testing and containment. So we have pretty good testing now. Testing is available. And if people have symptoms of COVID-19, they should go to their doctor and get a test. And if they can't get a test there, they should call public health. And that number is readily available. And we can schedule you at a place where you can get a test.
In fact, we're having the doctor that does the test from Hilltop. It's going to be on tomorrow, Dr. Mark Pierce.
Excellent.
Talking about this. He did the first one, and he's been testing since then. So.
Yeah, and there's other places as well. And then we have to do the strong containment strategies, which we've been doing, which are the isolation and quarantine orders when we find cases. And then we need to continue to protect our high-risk people. So people who are over age 65 and people with chronic underlying conditions have to be extra careful because they're at higher risk of the serious consequences of COVID-19. We aren't so concerned when a kid gets COVID-19 because they have almost no symptoms at all. We're worried about those people who are going to die or who are going to be very, very ill in the hospital. We're trying to prevent those results. So it's probably going to be a lot of staying at home for those high-risk people for the next year. And then we need therapeutics, you know, medicines that will help people who are very sick. There was some very positive news, I think, that came out from Gilead Therapeutics this week showing some positive results from their trial that they're doing.
Revis something.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, when this thing started 2 weeks ago and we were talking about this with Dr. Bawa, one of our listeners got on the chat room and mentioned that drug, said, they're saying that this could be something. And he said, yeah, he says, we've been hearing about that, and it hadn't been passed by the FDA, but we're more, you know, but it comes under the experimental drug, so we can use it. So there's been some really good results, it appears, out of Chicago using this. So
right.
We have that.
Yeah, so that will be helpful. And then we also have to protect our hospitals against a surge. And this is important for all of us, because if the hospitals fill up with COVID-19 and don't have the capacity to treat anything else, that's not going to be great for people with heart attacks, asthma, recurrences, strokes, if they get in a car. Yeah, exactly. So we have to maintain their capacity. We're going to have to do physical distancing. It's not going to be to the extreme as we're doing now, but it is going to be necessary. And just to give you an idea what some of those things might be, maybe there's probably not going to be school anymore in the spring, but in the fall, perhaps schools need to go on shifts. So to distance the kids, you have, instead of having 20 to 25 kids in a class, you only have 12 to 13 kids in a class, and half go in the morning, half go in the afternoon. They're not going to be able to go to school for as long each day, so there's probably still going to be a lot of that work at home, but trying to keep the kids farther apart. Recess will probably look different. I'm not sure exactly how, but it's going to look different. You're probably not going to see large gatherings allowed. So we're probably not going to see sporting events with fans. We're not going to see large concerts. We're not going to see big parties, you know, type atmospheres like Market Fest or those kinds of things. You know, it's just not going to be possible.
What about church? What about church?
Church is another issue. You know, church, we're still going to need to be creative on church. You know, large church gatherings are going to be not advised. So churches are finding creative ways to do their services online and other ways. Some drive-in churches, you know, are going to be allowed. But I think also churches need to think about how can they do their ministries in smaller groups. Because small groups will be allowed.
Yeah, so, I can see where they're, you know, maybe instead of having two services, you have four. You know, so that people spread out, you know, so you've got some distance between you, yet you can still go to church like that. We're seeing a lot of stuff online, telemedicine, the schools, which is good if you have a robust internet, which we don't have in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you get out in the rural areas there.
The disadvantaged children are more disadvantaged.
Yes.
You know, if you don't have active parents that are working with the kids at home, it's really not, education's not happening for those kids.
Well, the Common Core is already kicking butt in the math side for the parents already. And they're, they need a class for the parents to teach the kids. So even coming into September, October, where you're looking at is no, they could start the NFL season or the baseball season, but with no fans.
That's correct. And, you know, the baseball folks are
fans.
Talking about having games out in Arizona without any fans. And with baseball, at least you stand far apart, you know. Football, I don't see how you social distance with football.
No.
It's going to be a challenge, I think, to figure that out.
So you think it's going to last all through the summer then, these rules?
I think there's going to be this sort of thing until we have a vaccine. And I think the other thing is, you know, it's going to be relaxed, but when there's outbreaks, then it's going to get strict again, you know, and that's going to be hard for people. It's going to be a back and forth kind of thing, you know, to try to keep it tamped down.
Okay, let's take a break here, because what I'm hearing is that we're going to look at areas that have got low infection rates, like us. Maybe another spot in California is not going to be able to do this. So we open up our businesses. Is that part of it? Is opening up the businesses as long as people are keeping, you know, separated?
Yes. You know, we're hoping that businesses will be able to open and with social distancing. So
yeah.
I think we've seen a lot of fantastic work done by businesses.
Well, I tell you.
Where they've marked places on the floor for people to stand.
Yeah.
They make announcements all the time. You know, and they've been very good about it, and I think that we're going to seek a continuation of that. I tried to go to a hardware store this weekend, and there was a giant line outside because they're limiting the number of people in the store, and that's what we're going to need. It's going to be difficult, but that's going to be needed. And
do you see that going to the end of the year, something like that?
I do.
Okay, we're going to take a break on that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster, and everything there is done by appointment and with social distancing. If you have a little bitty chip in your windshield or a crack over 2.5 feet in length, you want somebody that's a professional that knows what he's doing. He brings your vehicle in. He keeps it in climate-controlled conditions. He works on it, and he guarantees it for life. Veteran-owned business, Jeff Wurst is a man of integrity. If he can't fix it, he'll just tell you. And he'll tell you what he thinks you should do with the windshield, where you should go to get that replaced. But he can fix so many of them without you worrying about it, especially the big RVs. He's located at 3208 South Market Street, but give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. We'll be right back after these messages with Danelle Ewart, who heads up our Health and Human Services and has just told us he believes that this is going to go on to the end of the year. At least some portion of what we're going through right now. 7:33 in the morning, 49 degrees.
Sweet Caroline, good times never seem so good. I've been inclined to believe they never.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio and essential business. As we pass great information, we try to. We try not to pass false information. That's why we're really happy to have Danelle Ewert with us, who heads up Health and Human Services here in Shasta County. Danelle, you have to respond to what the state is saying. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You can't do any less, but you can do more.
Correct. So, for example, there's a health officer order from the state of California that's instituted the stay-at-home order. Trinity County and Siskiyou County both did additional health officer orders saying that anyone who came to live in a second home in their county had to self-quarantine for 14 days, which we haven't done yet. We thought about doing it. We still may do it, but that isn't that different than what we're already doing.
Uh-huh.
We're all supposed to be staying home unless we have some essential thing to do in a store. So it's really not that different. I think they're trying to make the point, don't come to your second home, is what they're really trying to say.
Right. Don't bring your virus in.
Yeah, exactly. Which, of course, is an issue, and traveling around is really a violation of the stay-at-home order. You're supposed to stay, in your place, but, of course, you have a second home. You can say, I'm electing to stay in that home. But anyway, we can do more. We can make it more restrictive. We can't make it less restrictive.
Okay. So the state, which is trying to make decisions based on the whole state, but they did lay it out there. If we have, a number of criteria, if we meet that criteria, we could lift sooner.
Well, it's interesting because, the federal government did come out with some recommendations. They were similar to some of the things that the governor talked about, but they had phases. And I think it'll be interesting to see if the state goes that way. If they say under these conditions, these are the measures, and under these different conditions, these are different measures. Because then there could be different approaches in different places. So we'll have to see. Those are under development right now. I am going to be on one of the work groups. It's going to be the one on reinstituting measures. So it's kind of that last piece of when there's a flare up, what are we going to do? So we're having a call later today about that. So we'll see, what ends up, coming out of the sausage mm-hmm. making.
Who makes the decision?
Well, there's a state health officer who's appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate in California. And, that person is the one who supposedly makes the decisions, but I think it's probably, a larger group of people, the governor being, primary in that, and then a lot of other players. There's a Secretary of Health and Human Services, Mark Galley, as well, between the health officer and the governor. So it's a bunch of those people, and then they consult. The county health officers do
okay.
have to provide some input as well. Each county has their own health officer.
So you go in and say, hey, look, we haven't had a case in, let's just say a week. We haven't had a case in a week. We don't have anybody isolated anymore. Our hospitals are ready to rock. If anything does happen, we even have a field hospital set up here in town that's there to take overflow of regular patients, as we talked about, car wrecks, other things that don't need to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Do you then put in your input and say, hey, we've met all the criteria. We'd like to start phasing ourselves open again.
I don't think it would work quite that way. I think right now what we can advocate for is having a multifaceted approach and so that the health officer order comes out in that fashion. And then if it doesn't, we can advocate for changes, over time. There's regular communication going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to be quite circumspect about these things because there can be unintended consequences to anything. And if let's say we were allowed to be more open.
Okay.
Would that be an attractant for people to come here so they could have more freedom to do things? And then we're bringing in people from other places who also may have the virus, symptomatic or asymptomatic. So mm-hmm. You don't want a giant sucking sound of people flowing to your area because there's more openness only to have a giant outbreak result from that. So, I think we have to be thoughtful about our approach.
I don't see, concerts happening. You load in 2,000 people from other places. I don't see something like that, but I see where we could start relaxing the businesses so we can get some of our businesses open again as long as they're social distancing.
Correct.
Restaurants.
And I think that that's going to be part of what the state does. I'm definitely in favor of that. Like I said, the businesses have been responsible. I think they'll continue to be responsible for the most part, and we need to figure out masking, limiting number of people in the store, maintaining social distancing within the store. There's a lot of things that can be done.
I tell you what, people are rabid about that, about the distancing. I didn't know about when I was 2 weeks ago. I didn't realize there were lines on the ground. I wasn't paying attention. So I was standing not close. But the lady turns around, she says, blue line. And I and I looked at her, and I looked down, and the blue line was maybe 6 inches behind me. And I went, oh. And I stepped behind it, and then I realized I was getting that way, too. I was looking around at people who are getting too close to me like this. They've got, one way on aisles, so you go down one way so you can, distance. But there's always the person there that has to read every can of corn every one of them and just stand there and block out all the canned vegetables in one spot as they're reading it and their lips move. So, I mean, this could take a long time. But, okay, hey, so what we're getting from this, and I'm going to wrap this segment up, is that even if we are doing everything right, our cases are down, nobody in the hospital, we should be able to go into phase one of whatever that phase is. But we still have to wait until the state says it's okay.
That's correct.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Mary's Pizza. They're open. Mary's Pizza Shack, who has supported this community in like 18,000 ways since I've moved here, is open. And if you call them at 247-1110, they have great pizzas, salads. They have anything you can imagine that you want to have with that pizza. And they'll deliver or you can pick up. Mary's Pizza Shack right down on 1177 Shasta Street. So remember, give them a call, 247-1110, and get your pizza for lunch today. You know what? If you're at home, why not splurge? Have your pizza. Watch your Netflix, even though you've probably watched everything on Netflix over the last 2 weeks except Tiger King. We'll be right back, 7:45 in the morning, 50 degrees out there today, the 20th of April.
My Corona, Rubik's, Cornflakes, don't give me handshakers, please remove your mama, time to watch my dramas, no labor, no razor, out of toilet paper. In my Corona home, I spent the last few days all alone, playing with styrofoam.
Let's see, coffee, got it, radio, dialed in, check, showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right, join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Friday night and my wine stock's low. I've literally got no place to go. I try to find a good stairways to forget everything. I find the Tiger King.
Oh, no. No, no, not the Tiger King. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Okay, I'm getting ready to break down, my friends. I may watch the Tiger King this weekend. If I do, I'll let you know. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR. This portion of the show brought to you by a business that is shut down, Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. And the reason I keep bringing it up is, one, I want to keep them in your mind, so when this is finally opened up and we get a little more relaxed here, you can run down there and buy your loved one some things to make up for the way you've acted over the last 30 days. Maybe more than one thing. If you're forcing them to watch Tiger King, that could be one reason for doing that. We're here with Donnell Ewert, who is the Director of Health and Human Services for Shasta County. And we have a caller. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Donnell, after you admitted that probably the biggest part of the crime problem in San Antonio was due to the homeless, attributed to the homeless, that reflects all across the country and especially here in Shasta County, in my opinion. Are you going to any extra measures to make sure that the homeless population isn't contagious and maybe spreading the disease around town, you know, like maybe going to the grocery store and handling cans and goods, or maybe going to the computer store and typing on the computers as we've seen on TV?
That's a good question, Nick. Thank you. Because that was one of the questions we've been bringing up to a variety of different individuals, is the homeless population here.
Well, so far there haven't been any cases among any of the homeless people as far as we know. However, we are trying to implement Project Room Key, which is to try to we're setting aside motel rooms for people who are infected with COVID-19 and homeless or have been exposed to somebody with COVID-19 so we can isolate and quarantine those people effectively in motel rooms. And we're also trying to find the highest risk individuals among the homeless to try to get off the street during this time. So we are doing that.
Is that working? Finding people?
Yeah, we've got a whole system for that, for identifying the high-risk people.
How many people have we have so far?
It's only a handful so far, I believe. Our housing department is doing that. I don't have the current numbers, but they've got a room block of 20 rooms that they've working on right now, and they have abilities to increase that. But I just want to emphasize that homeless people aren't any more likely to transmit the disease than any other human. You know, humans transmit it the same way. But they are at higher risk because homeless people tend to have more underlying health problems.
Well, I think the point that my concern is the lack of ability for them to, for personal hygiene, washing their hands, being able to wash their clothing, all of these. That to me is the, a fact that, you know, homeless get to go to stores just like everybody else. But are we setting out hygienic stations for them, you know, hand-washing stations? Are we handing out hand sanitizer to the homeless?
Yeah, thank you for reminding me about that. The housing department is working on hand-washing stations in all the areas of the county. So that is a project that's underway as well.
Okay. Yeah. Because that seems like that would be a spot that once it got started – and once it got a foothold there, that it could go through a lot of people fast. And you still see them gathering in groups of six or seven or eight together. And there's no 6 feet between them.
Yeah, it's a problem in some areas. They as far as the ones who camp, you know, they do tend to, if they got a camp set up, they tend to stay kind of to themselves. Mm-hmm. At least when I've been out doing outreach, that's the way it looks. But there are groups that are still gathering there in front of the library and so forth.
What? So we have not seen any cases from that group?
No, we haven't had no reported cases among the homeless so far.
Okay, so isn't that interesting?
Yes, of course, another big concern is the Good News Rescue Mission, and we've been working extensively with them to assure that they have the ability to isolate people who are sick, and we also try to move those people out into the motels as well, so we don't have a sick individual living in the dorm there, because people are staying quite close together. So we are working and also working with them on single point of entry and screening people when they come in each day. And I want to thank Shasta Community Health Center and the Hope Van. They've been working very closely with them and have moved the Hope Van over there more days a week to try to help in that medical screening process.
Okay. Susan, we're running out of time here.
Hi. I was just wondering if the gentleman had seen the new study out of Stanford that they took with that showed 50 times more people have already had the coronavirus and now are immune.
Okay, thank you.
I have not seen that study. It's well documented that many people are asymptomatic, so there are going to be a lot more people immune than the people that we know about who have been sick. So, but I couldn't tell you the exact numbers because I've not seen that study.
Okay. As we get into this, we're seeing that what we're doing is working. Everybody's cooperating. Do you have a concern that there's a certain time that people are going to say, you know what, I've had enough of this, and I'm going to open my business or something like that? You know, there's no new cases. If I don't open up here soon, I'm finished, because we've already heard of some businesses will never open again. Are you concerned anything about like that people are going to just say, hey, look, this is not affecting us like it is the rest of California and New York. We need to open up.
Well, I think it's important that people see the need for the measures. So that's why the measures need to change. And yes, I mean, we can't keep what we have now much longer, nor should we. So, it's trying to find the right sweet spot where we can keep people at a social distance, the businesses can open and function, and we don't see a large increase in cases. And that it might take some fiddling, to get that right.
Right. So we've got to be, I think what I'm hearing is we've got to be flexible on this, that we can start opening up, and if it starts ramping up again, we've got to then kind of like clamp down. But if we, we've always heard the term 1 May. We've heard that date a lot. Is that a day that we could be looking at some changes then? I mean, I'm not trying to pin you down either on this.
Right. And again, keep in mind, it's not up to me. It's the state of California. But I think that's the date that we're going to see something change.
Okay.
It's probably around May 1st. That's what the governor indicated. And I think that they're working towards a date similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we all have our fingers crossed that we're going to see a change come up here pretty soon.
Okay. Hey, we appreciate you coming in today. I think it's really important to hear it from the guy in charge.
Absolutely.
But even though I know that it's the state, but you're the one that's on the phone with the state all the time. You're pleading our case, I'm sure, that, okay, you understand where LA is having problems and other places, but we're not having that problem. So I appreciate the fact that you were here on this. And what I'm getting from this is that, we have at a time when we're no new cases, less cases, hospitalized, all of this. And so it's working that now we need to go into that next phase.
Correct.
Of how we can start opening up. Now, do you lay that all out? Based on Shasta County, I know you get your information from the state. Says you'll do it like this. But then, how do you implement that? Is that your team that then says, "Okay, here's our guidance. This is what we're going to do."
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, they set out that kind of broad structure or framework, and then we figure out how to implement here at the local level. For example, we've been doing business engagement. We had a team, and I just want to thank the probation department. They had a few staff that participated in the EOC, and they did a lot of business engagement. They've contacted over 160 businesses just to talk to them about what you know, what they're doing in relation to the stay-at-home order, because the complaints were received that they were staying open and were non-essential. Some are deemed to be essential, some aren't, and then we work with them. They work with them on, you know, what they needed to do. And the vast, vast majority, are, you know, are compliant with that sort of engagement. So, you know, that was going on. And, of course, we have a very aggressive containment effort. You know, every case that's reported to us, we investigate, and we do the quarantine and isolation orders. And so we had, I think, at one point over 70 people in quarantine. So those are all essential parts of the that implementation of those strategies.
Okay. Danelle, thank you so much for being with us. It won't be the last time as we get closer. We'll have you back on so you can lay it out to everybody the way it's supposed to look.
Okay.
So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Be safe out there.
All right.
Hey, when we get back, we're going to have the president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, Jeff Fink, and about what kind of impact this has had on banks. We'll be right back.
News this hour from townhall.com. Comrade Thomason. As coronavirus lockdowns drag on, some Americans are growing increasingly impatient. They say they want to be able to get back to work. Some complain that governors have been too heavy-handed in their restrictions. President Trump says he understands the frustration.
They've got cabin fever. They want to get back. They want their life back.
More protests expected in various state capitals today as demonstrators urge governors to start easing up on the virus-related restrictions. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says the pandemic has devastated his city's economy. As a result, thousands of city workers must take 26 furlough days. That equals a 10% pay cut.
Cherished programs will lose funding, while recreational and community services will see significant changes. We'll have to spend less on removing graffiti, caring for our urban forest. And we face sharp limits right now.
From reopening bookstores in Germany to beaches in Sydney, even tattoo parlors in Denmark, countries around the globe taking advantage of flattening virus curves to tentatively ease their lockdowns.
The countries are hoping to edge cautiously toward whatever will pass for normal amid a devastating pandemic. China, where the pandemic started its relentless march around the globe late last year, has already been reopening from strict lockdowns. Meanwhile, more nations in Europe were following suit. Still, all were trying to maintain social distancing rules in an attempt to prevent new flare-ups of the virus that has killed more than 165,000 people and thrown the global economy into a tailspin. Jeremy House reporting.
No word yet on a motive for a shooting rampage in the Canadian province of Nova Scotia. A series of largely random attacks left at least 16 people dead. The gunman died as well. Wall Street, the Dow down 226 points. NASDAQ 9 points higher. The S&P 16 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You're about to hear a commercial for a very unique mortgage team that has a very specific advantage that could save your family monthly and lifelong money. Two things you should know. One, we were started by a dad and his son and his wife and his sister-in-law, and we've grown to be a faith-focused mortgage team that's helping families across the U.S. We're faith and family at our core, and we don't hide it. Two, we've still stayed fairly small, on purpose. We're only about a couple dozen people, a makeup that we believe lets us truly know every person that calls. But we also have a big advantage. Our company is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, a reality that often allows us to get you a better rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Equal Housing Lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
India has recorded its biggest single-day spike in coronavirus cases. This as the government issues revised rules, easing one of the world's strictest lockdowns to allow some manufacturing and agricultural activity to resume.
The new guidelines are designed to ease pressure on farmers and protect India from food shortages. More than half the country's workforce is involved in agriculture, and many are now back in the fields. Many migrant labourers will also get paid again as some government-led projects resume. But the situation varies from state to state, with some chief ministers saying they're not easing restrictions at all yet. That includes Delhi, Punjab and Tamil Nadu. And even within states, districts with a lot of cases, often in the cities, are also staying locked down.
The BBC's Jill McGivering reports that India, with a population of 1.3 billion, has recorded more than 17,000 coronavirus cases nationwide.
News and analysis at townhall.com. Secretary of State Pompeo says it was China's cover-up that accelerated the worldwide virus pandemic.
Secretary Pompeo tells the Salem Radio Network one side of any authoritarian regime
is the absence of the ability for information to flow freely.
Pompeo says China's Communist Party kicked out U.S. journalists as the outbreak began and silenced its own doctors when they raised the alarm. The result?
The world didn't know what was confronting it, and in a virus like this, those first hours and days and weeks are the most critical in stopping the spread.
Pompeo says he also blames the World Health Organization for not confronting China's cover-up, something that only made the outbreak more devastating. Bob Agnew reporting.
A week after a deadly series of tornadoes, severe storms raked a wide area of the Deep South during the nighttime hours. Torrential rains and severe thunderstorms across parts of Louisiana and Georgia, among other states. Once again on Wall Street, the Dow down 226 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Botts. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-456-67. Hey, we're celebrating over 10 years on the air. Today's the 20th of April, 2020, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Yeah, they're one of our first lines of defense here. Somebody gets ill with CV-19. That's where they go to, is Shasta Regional Medical Center. I've seen how they've been set up. If you've got somebody that, a loved one that has to go in for, heart surgery or something like that, of course, they're still doing all the emergency surgeries. You will not be able to go in and see them, however, because it is really locked down there. I'm sure they'll make exceptions now and then, but, they're keeping that place safe. They've got a triage system set up outside that is reminds me very much of a Fallujah, Iraq, where people can be brought in there outside the emergency room. Shasta Regional Medical Center. What's the weather look like, Ashley?
We are looking at our coolest day of the week today with a high of 74 degrees and a slight chance of showers this afternoon. We aren't going to get any real chance of rain in the valley until Wednesday afternoon into the evening. But clear tomorrow, and we're looking at 80s for the rest of the week, with getting up to a high of 87 on Friday.
Okay. The weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business, locally owned and operated right there in Anderson. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Also, Shasta Gas Propane fed the Veterans Clinic, the VA Clinic, last week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, three different divisions of the clinic, and they went out and fed them, delivered pizza to all three of the branches, went over really big. As we know, the impact of the CV-19 on our country, but especially our economy and our businesses, has been just catastrophical in some areas, has been at the very least, it has affected everybody in the businesses in our economy. A number of programs were started by the feds to try and get people through this, and many of these programs came through our local banks. And today with us, we have Jeff Fink, who is the CEO and president of Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, locally operated. Two branches here in town, 1845 California Street, and I think 192 Hartnell Avenue, and one in Red Bluff also. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
It's not the first time you've been on here.
No, it isn't.
But so, not like this.
This is true.
Can you kind of, I know it's hard to do, but when this thing started, was there, when you heard COVID-19 and you heard now it was coming, you know, it was coming to the United States, and now they're talking pandemics and you're hearing all these things, did you have any realization how this was going to impact on your industry?
Yes. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, I looked at it through the lens of an economist. So early on, I looked at it and looked at the early modeling of it and realized this was going to be catastrophic. So we took a number of initial steps. I still remember coming into my office one morning at, it was at 2:45 in the morning, and emailing out to my board to have them listen to actually a webinar that I attended the day before, and it was a recording. And so I remember starting the email, and it read, please, please, please view this as soon as possible.
At 2:45 in the morning.
Well, that's when I was my mind was racing at that time.
Yeah.
But the early economic projections were nothing short of catastrophic. I mean, to give you an idea, there were some projections out early on that global GDP would drop 9%. And some were even saying 10%. To put that in perspective, global GDP has never fallen more than 1% ever. So you can, you know, you compare that and you start looking at what will be the effect from an economic perspective, and then it becomes sobering.
Well, when you talk about a 9, maybe even a 10% GDP drop, I mean, we're talking about countries. It could go bankrupt.
Well, this is globally, and it you know, I think that from an economic side right now, the U.S. is responding fairly effectively. You know, the damage is being done, and it'll continue to be done. And the main thing I think that is being looked at is preservation. How many businesses can be capable of opening and functioning and developing a revenue stream again for survival? And, you know, I'm sure you've had small business people on your show, mm-hmm. and you've talked to a number of them. And, you know, their major concern is how do I preserve enough capital to restart and be able to keep going? And that's one of the paycheck protection program that was rolled out by SBA and funded through Congress. That the major objective of that program is that.
Well, you know, the Paycheck Protection Program, when it first came out, was a it's never been done before. So, or has it? I don't think it's been done before, anything like this.
No, this was rolled out through the SBA 7A program, and that program was maybe a $25 billion program prior mm-hmm. to the start. Prior to the legislation of the CARES Act, and then that jumped up to a $350 billion program overnight. And I've used an analogy quite often. It was like flying a 747 and building it at the same time. And there are going to be some problems associated with that kind of immediate implementation of a scale on a national level. And so, you know, there's stories out there that aren't favorable. There's a lot of stories that are very favorable. And I think overall that from the government side, they've actually responded quite effectively. And there's been additional things that have happened since they've rolled that out. And, you know, they've created new rules and different things. But
well, I'm going to break early here because I want to talk about the PPP program, because for some people it worked wonderfully. Immediately, and other people, they've been having a lot of problems with it. So if I can, I'd like to get from you is that you from the banks, because it's been instituted through you all, your side of it, what was happening, the amount of people coming in, you know, how do you handle 1,000 requests that come in on the same day and all this, and then at the same time at the other end, they're saying, oh, there's only so much money. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by SST Oil. SST Oil is one of those unsung heroes that's out there moving gas, fuel, jet fuel, diesel all throughout the western United States. Their people can't get sick. And I imagine right now Bill Casparino, who's the president of the company, is probably out on a truck right now. It's an employee-owned company. Bill's come up through the ranks. He hasn't forgotten how to drive. And Dana's keeping everything running there. But without our truckers, we would be in severe problems in this country. So we can just keep hoping and praying is that they are keeping things on the road, of food, water, fuel, all those necessities that we need. SST Oil, one of the good guys. Been in the business right here in Reading since for over 52 years, SST Oil. We'll be right back with Jeff Fink, President and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank.
Solitaire, makeup, hair are useless, no one minds me. Oh, how I need some human touch. The animals have had enough. I'm going crazy. Somewhere into the future, we'll be fine.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Corona.
That's it. Corona. Oh, okay. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You're in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here 605-456-7818 in the morning here on the 20th. 50 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. As pointed out earlier, all their emergency surgeries, anything to keep people alive, those are still going on and going on well. As you know, Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, as recognized by the Watson Health Organization, a fully accredited chest pain center. They have a variety of other things that they've been rated in the top people with, or the top scores with, including heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, surgical complications, meaning you don't get infections afterwards, heart failure, stroke, hip knee replacements. And those will start at some point as part of the opening up of restrictions is elective surgery start again. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. I'm here with Jeff Fink, who is the president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank. And when we left, we were beginning to talk about the PPP program, the Paycheck Protection Program that the SBA funded via the Congress. And you said the feds were actually helpful this time. They were kind of like being able to provide money to you or to us.
Well, the program got rolled out, and it was going to have some hiccups, as I said before. Yeah. But I look at it in its totality, based on what they had to do in such a short time frame, and the response and everybody having to figure it out in quick order, I think it worked fairly effectively. You know, and I do believe they'll backfill it with some more and there will be more dollars available. And then since that time, the Federal Reserve Bank has stepped up with another facility. And essentially what it does, it allows banks to go a little bit beyond what they were capable of before. If we looked at it from the side, you know, I'll give you the numbers of my bank, and we essentially in 1 week did $65 million of lending for this program. And that affects
– $65 million in 1 week.
Probably, maybe I might be exaggerating. It might have been 9 days, but it was close. That affects banks' liquidity, capital, and everything else. So the Federal Reserve stepped in and said you could pledge all these loans to the feds, and then you can borrow against the discount window. And then if you do it that way, those have no inclusion for capital ratios, all these things that banks have to be mindful of to stay in good regulatory graces. So there's been, that program then additions to the program to help it out. And if Congress frees up some more funds, we'll get some more money out there to folks that haven't been able to receive it yet.
Now, the PPP program, what you had to bring to the bank was pretty simple. At least it was, when people are putting it in, you had to bring in a payroll from February 15th. You had to bring in a profit loss statement and then a 940, I think, from last year, how much you paid your people. Was there more to it than that? But then you all had to fill out paperwork after that.
Well, what happened, the paperwork, it was fairly simplified. Banks had to figure out their own underwriting. We did some very, very simplified underwriting. What I was amazed with the great group of people I get to work with is how they were able to put this together. And we really marshaled every resource within the bank. I was working on it. Our chief credit officer did a remarkable job. Our head of our note department did a remarkable job. Our lenders did. But then we had our finance department involved in it. We had compliance involved in it. We had our controller actually doing loans. And so what was all of that said under normal circumstances would have been really pretty remarkable. But we did that with 70% of our workforce working remotely. And this is where we were really geared up to go. We actually ran what's called a tabletop testing. So we look at potential disasters and try to plan for it. And we did a tabletop test in, 2018, on a pandemic. And one of the shortfalls we realized was our ability to go remotely in short order. And so we addressed that early on. So when it was time to say, okay, all of you guys get kicked out of the bank, you're going remote, we had the online credentials set up. We had almost everything ready to go. And so we were able to jettison people out of the bank and still maintain productivity. So we had that going for us, and then we addressed this thing really early on and say, okay, how do we do this to make it as seamless as possible for the business people? And, you know, we got overwhelmed. We got overrun, and I think a number of banks
– I haven't heard one bank that wasn't just totally overrun.
But we were able to process, and then there were some twists and turns in it. You know, we were able to get on what's called the E-Trans system early on, and that's where you have to get an SBA number, and you can't make the loan until you get that number. And so we were pretty effective with that. And then everybody was waiting to see if SBA would do loan docs or you should do your own loan docs. We chose to do our own loan docs. We took some risk in this to be able to really mobilize what we needed to do and to get this out to our customers in as short order as possible.
Let me say this. We've had a relationship with Cornerstone for several years, which is going to increase. But every story I heard in that first week of success came out of Cornerstone. Every time somebody would say something, it came out of Cornerstone. And that tells me is that – in 2018, your pandemic, what happens if we have a pandemic? I wish you had shared that with the rest of the country, maybe the feds. But you obviously knew what had to be done, and you were able in short order to be able to start helping people, which is what this thing is about, is keeping people working. I can pay my people now. They don't have to find something else. I don't have to lay them off. And it's hard to lay off people here anyway. But it's going to be able to keep this business afloat until all this thing keeps, so this rules get restricted or get lifted a little bit, relaxed.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea of the plan, is to have that preservation of those paychecks. And, again, enough capital to go ahead and restart. It's going to be essential. I mean, you take our little neck of the woods and you take my little bank, and we did $65 million. And I know another number of my, you know, bigger bank brethrens and counterparts have pumped out a lot of money into the system too. But that's really kind of remarkable when you stop and think about the economy and how much a paycheck means to in order for this economic system of ours to continue to have keep the wheels on the bus. So, you know, we looked at it initially and thought, okay, what's going to be our number? And we were thinking, oh, we might do 10 or 20 million, you know, kind of if we got above 20, that would be, demand that we had to figure out. And we pushed our bank as hard and as far as we could possibly push it. In consultation with our board of directors, they were looking at it and saying, whoa, what are we doing here? And
especially when some of your board of directors were laying off thousands of people at that point, I should say thousands, but, because you've got a bunch of local guys here on the board.
Yeah, we
they're getting hit by it just like everybody else.
Nobody's immune to this.
No, nobody.
I say in jest, they say, whoa, whoa, whoa. But they were extremely supportive and said, okay, let's do everything we can to play a part in making sure that we're putting our best foot forward as bankers and as citizens of the community.
Well, you obviously did that. Now, there are, for the success stories, there's the other side, too. People are saying that, you know, the banks run out of money. They were told back and bring in more paperwork, whatever it is. But the number of people were not able to be helped in this first round. if what has to happen and more money put into the program and then they reapply, or you just take their applications that you have? Well, and I'm not saying you, but I'm just talking about, I haven't, you know, heard about your bank specifically, but I have heard of several others.
Yeah, there will be a number of applications that are teed up and ready to go. And so when the Congress appropriates more funds to the program, then they can submit those again and get their SBA number, and then those loans can be funded. So I do think that I would encourage a number of people, if they missed out on the first round, to go back to their bank, or in the case if they've been told or if they've lost some faith, find another bank to help them out. And
because you can go to other banks. You do not have to go – I mean – if you do business in Bank X, they could come then to Cornerstone, even if they're not doing business with you. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. One of the things that everybody is a little bit concerned about, to be honest, Carl, is that if you open up the floodgates, then no one bank has the capacity to do it all.
Yes.
So it needs to be a collective effort with all of us. And I do think, I think there's going to be some criticism of the banking industry. And maybe some do. But overall, I think if you go back to your bank and this is freed up, they're going to want to do everything they can to try to help you. I think the industry will, you know, there was hesitation to begin with. One of the reasons we were able to get so many out and done is we didn't hesitate. Now, not hesitating has its risk, because this is brand new. People wanted some things to find. We took a little bit of a leap of faith and said, okay, we think we'll be fine with this. The most important thing is to get the funds out there to businesses so they survive. Paychecks are preserved. And the rules are still being written on this thing. It's not a done deal, but I do think that ultimately it's going to get figured out fairly effectively.
Do you think there'll be I've got to take a break right now, so we'll answer this on the way back. Do you think that if this thing, you know, stretches out, there'll be another round of this?
There might be.
Might be. Okay. We're here with Jeff Fink, who's the CEO and the president of Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, locally operated, right here in town. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show is brought to you by a business that's not open, Cypress Square Barbershop. They work on appointments. I made my appointment on May 1st. I have got a leap of faith here that on May 1st, they're going to start opening up some businesses. And if so, I got to be there because I am, Linda's cutting my hair around my ears. Otherwise, I would be looking like Sasquatch at this point. Make an appointment at 244-9478 at Cypress Square Barbershop. Remember, it's man's last stronghold. We'll be right back with Jeff Fink. 8:31 in the morning here on the 20th. 50 degrees out there.
I get locked down. I want banana bread. Then on.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes,
If we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Visiting friends, shaking hands, or high-fives are lovely things that make us feel alive. But at this time, it is silly and mean while we still fight COVID-19.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Today, the 20th of April, 8:36 in the morning, 50 degrees out there, going up to like 74 today, maybe a chance of rain. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Home Helpers. Since so many people are restricted to their homes and are not going out to help people, Sharon Clark's picking up that load. They've been doing this for 16 years, and Sharon's people are very well trained. All the background screenings you could possibly imagine. And if you need help for some of your loved ones for an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 24 hours a day, it's Sharon Clark. You can give her a call at 226-8350. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com. And she is always looking for good employees to bring in as be part of her family there in Home Helpers. We're here with Jeff Fink, who is the CEO and president of Cornerstone Community Bank. And we haven't had a bank on talking about the impact this has had. And as you can imagine, in the first 30 minutes, the overload of something like this happening. But that Cornerstone actually did a board, we call them board exercises, of what happens if a pandemic hits in 2018. You did this, and it helped you establish your people not being there, working from home, how to set up your internet, all of these things, so that you just had to dust that plan off.
Yeah, we were actually set to go. One of the things we identified within that planning was we lack some credentials necessary to get people remote. You imagine around banks there's a lot of security.
Yeah.
And so, you know, VPN connections and some of the credentials. And so we had that. We had a number of people lined up that had inactive credentials, and all we had to do was move them from inactive to active and say, go. And they were out of the bank, and we were functioning quite effectively. The other thing that has worked out really well for us is sometime back we put in some fairly sophisticated telecommunication capabilities. We actually use a thing called a Cisco Spark Board. And so we can, you know, it's not as good as being there, but it's the next best thing. So now all our board meetings are done remotely. And we'll have one coming up next Monday that'll be all remote. It's kind of weird for me to sit in a boardroom and be the only one in the boardroom, but it allows us to operate both from a management and an operation and a governance standpoint pretty effectively, even though we're not together.
Are you able to see everybody?
Yes.
My favorite meme so far has been everybody's there for the board meeting and there's a cat looking in one of the cameras.
You get that,
those things?
You get that now.
Okay.
And then. You know, everybody has different levels of sophistication with technology.
Now, are you looking at this as maybe something that you're going to take on in the future if this is working? So you don't have to be bringing people in all the time, since it looks like our way of life is going to change a little bit.
Oh, I think we're all anxious to go
back.
I think overall, you know, we're a pack animal as human beings. We like the person to person interaction.
You like to look in somebody's eyes. You know, everybody does that.
I think that's human nature.
I think it's going to change some things. I think telemedicine seems to be, you know, catching on to a lot of people. Anyway, okay, you're an economist, you're a banker. We've had our economy has been slammed. What do you see in the future here when they say May 1st, and Danelle was hoping that May 1st is when we could start easing these restrictions. It's not going to be everything opened up all at once. What do you see happening here in the next year? I'll settle for 6 months. For 3 months.
Well, I'll kind of give you a short term,
okay,
and maybe an intermediate and a long term. And the long term is still extremely bullish and optimistic. On the short term, as you say, they're going to open up limit. That means the economy will be limited. So if you use the analogy, you have 8 cylinders, and now we might have 1 cylinder firing. Well, we're going to add one more and then one more. And the, you know, the full force and the horsepower of our domestic economic engine is just not going to fire on all 8 cylinders for a while. And it's not realistic to think it will. One of the big issues, and everybody's watched it and everybody will have their own opinion on it, but if we open up this thing too soon and we end up back in the same position, then it may be more devastating than really productive. So, you know, the scientific community is pretty clear on this. We need to have the wide-scale testing. We need to have tracing. We need to be able to still isolate. And then things are going to function a little differently for a while, and that's until we have a therapeutic or a vaccine in place.
Which could be a year out.
Yeah, and it's going to be a while. So I think the short term is going to be some continued frustration because we won't be able to, you know, if you have that horsepower that'll take you to 100 miles an hour, but you still have a governor on that engine that will only allow you to go 20 miles an hour, there's going to be some frustration with that. And then on the intermediate side, it'll really be, again, you know, what the scientists and the pharmaceuticals and everything else can bring to bear. And, you know, that's pretty impressive what's taking place globally right now. So I have some optimism of I don't know if we'll be able to speed up really the vaccine and then have the production for the wide scale that we need, but I do think there may be some favorable stuff on the intermediate side on a therapeutic that will allow the economy to get going. And then so I sort of see a U-shaped recovery. Fundamentally, our economy is still in good shape in terms of the infrastructure for the economy. And then it'll be how does the consumer come back into it? Are there some preferences that have changed? Will you want to eat out as much? Now that you've change some consumption patterns, will you go back to the same consumption patterns? I am fairly optimistic that once we do get to the point we can have some reasonable security, yeah, we can go out in public and it's not going to be catastrophic, then I do think that the majority of patterns that we all establish are going to come back into place. People are going to want to dine out again. They're going to want to go to sporting events again. They're going to want to go to concerts. And so when I say U-shape, it's just that's more not so much the economy responding. It's still going to have governors on it. And so when those governors are lifted and that all cylinders can fire, then I think when we start coming out of that U-shape, it's going to come back fairly decent,
mm-hmm.
and I think it will respond well.
Let's go to the phones. Lori, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl, Ashley, and guest Jeff. I have I just want to catch up on trying to get something out of this morning's programming. I did listen to the past guests, and I maybe missed the points of, I don't think there were any pressing questions, so maybe I'll try again with the banking money aspect of it. So I have been banking with Wells Fargo. They closed 3 weeks ago on the shutdown day. I've been always leery that there could be computer hacks, computer virus issues, and so forth. So I just want to state that. And, Jeff, there are people that are looking at the global aspect, not just local, not just Shasta County, not just Redding, not just Cornerstone Bank, which you work at. My question is that we're looking at a slave debt system that some of us have just either grown to be loving it, we engage in it, we appreciate it, or we're addicted to it. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, it's imploding, it's not working, and maybe this COVID-19 or whatever it is some kind of weird blessing in disguise that we all, I mean all, the planet, is halting, we're stopping. We're realizing our real priorities. So, yes, some people do want to go to the restaurants again. They want to go to the ballpark. They want to have the life they had. It may never be again the same. So how do you, as a person, address, and I'm not interested in what triggered this pathogen or how it started or nothing like that. It's just we're dealing with it right now, the real data, the numbers, the facts, what's in your bank account, the planned money, did it run out, and so forth. If this old system is officially dying, are we going to a digital chip global agenda? And if this old system is dying, then it's dead and gone. Let's just move on. Let's move forward and be realistic is my thought. Because if the crops aren't there and the oceans are dying and the forests are dying, the food is going to cost a fortune. People will not be able to eat out. That's kind of where I'm going. So I hope I get a little bit more out of this guest on the biosphere collapse. It all collapses. That's kind of my premise.
Okay, Laura.
Carl, thank you for taking my question.
You bet.
Well, you've introduced a lot of topics all in one question there. And, again, my expertise is not and I don't pretend to be a scientist, so the number of questions you have within that, I'm really not qualified to address. I look at it from the lens of an economist, and then economics is a social science. It's the queen of the social sciences because we bring to bear more empirical data than any other social science. But, again, it deals with human behavior. So I look at it from a human behavior standpoint and then kind of try to equate that into what's out there and how do you forecast this. And then I come back again to, you know, how do human beings react. And I think overall, human beings want to find some level of security, and that's first and foremost. And then when that's achieved, then they have some consumption patterns for their well-being and their entertainment and everything else. And so that's when we were talking about the type of recovery we might have, I look at more of a U-shape where just because we won't be able to fire on all the 8 cylinders, but coming out of it, I do think people will come back to want to do the things that they've always done, buy gifts, socialize, have entertainment.
Go to baseball games.
Yeah. And again, so I for the long run viability of our economy, I think it's going to be okay.
Okay. And she was asked about the international, maybe a different type of banking and all that.
Well, every industry evolves,
mm-hmm.
you know, and banking's no different. We've seen banking evolve from really just the pure brick and mortar to a lot more digital components, and that's going to continue. But I think for a number of businesses, that brick and mortar will still be okay, and it'll have an element to it because, frankly, I know a number of people that still want to come in and talk to a trusted advisor and get face-to-face and say, okay, well, what do I do? How do I go about this? And get that level of counsel that is hard to achieve on the digital side. And you know, my thing as a banker and running a small bank has always been we don't go either or. We do both. You want the level of sophistication on the digital side. The nice thing about banking now, it's a fairly flat, plain field. What a Wells Fargo or J.P. Morgan or the great big guys offer, our bank can offer as well. What we can do that is unique, and I think is unique to the backbone of the country, is small business. As a small business person, you can be in a community where if you have something you want to talk about to the top decision maker of the organization, you can make an appointment with me and you're talking to the president of the bank. For me, there's great value in that.
I think there's great value in that with a lot of things that you deal with. You know, we talk about telemedicine being maybe a place in the future, but people still want to sit in there with their doctor and talk to them. Even if they could do it online, there's something about being in that office. So,
you know, and that's back to the thing about sort of the globalization of the question and
uh-huh.
how do we go and we end up with some kind of, you know, digital thing where it's one size fits all. I actually think there's a lot of in play from small farming to you look at the micro brewing industry and different things. And I think there's a strong desire for the micro versus the macro, for the human touch, the knowing somebody, the
independent spirit.
That, well, and you look at
yeah.
This is why this Paycheck Protection Program was, I think, and is and will continue to be a very effective program. Because if you look at the largest employer in the country, by far, it's not a Fortune 500 company. It's small business. That's 70% of our workforce right there. The preservation of the small business is omnipotent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just critical.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break here, and we'll be right back, and we can finish up. We'll be right back after these messages, 8:51 in the morning. We blew right past the break, but that was, I think it was important to hear this, that the U-shape, and we're not going to be coming back at eight cylinders next week or May 1st. We're going to be hitting on two, then three, then till finally we get up. And there's going to be some businesses that may go to the end of the year, like big sporting events.
And remember, that's just one man's opinion.
Well, but that was also Donnell Ewart's opinion that you're not going to be seeing big sporting events. And I know that the music industry came out and said they're looking through December, that they're not going to be able to have, you know, the big acts coming out. So, all right, we'll be right back.
But found myself in a quandary. Promised my wife I'd do the laundry.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Make this year totally awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis, It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Don't stop believing.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, and this is our last segment, 8:54 in the morning here, 50 degrees. We may get some rain today. We may not. We have the shades pulled down in the morning because otherwise it blinds everybody in here with the way the sun's coming up. Our guest today is Jeff Fink, who is the president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, locally operated. Two branches here in town, 1845 California Street and 192 Hartnell Avenue in the O'Reilly Shopping Center. Another one in Red Bluff there. And they have been one of the our local banks that's just been in the forefront of helping people with the Paycheck Protection Program and other programs going on. We've talked about how that Paycheck Protection Plan worked. We've talked about the economy coming back. And it's, in Jeff's opinion, it's going to be kind of like U-shaped. And I think the way you put it was great. You got an eight-cylinder car that can do 140 miles an hour. And when we come back, we're going to be starting at one cylinder. We're going to be governed for a while as we slowly open up the economy. But in his estimation as an economist is that we're going to be back. But nobody knows the future. Is that, did I capture most of that?
I think that was good.
Is that
okay?
That
was a good recap.
Yeah, that's a real good recap. And so we talked about the future coming in. I always kind of thought it might be like a catapult. It keeps getting pulled back, and then it turns loose. But that's not going to happen. Not right away.
I don't see that. I mean, short of a miracle.
Right. And we also have to look at what changes in people's lives. They haven't been going to restaurants. They haven't been going to the movies. They've been doing online stuff. How is that going to change the theater industry? You know, because people go, well, yeah, I don't have to go and spend $25 at the theater just for two people to have popcorn and a drink and to get in. If I want to watch a movie, it costs me $5.99. I wonder if that has an impact on theaters here in the future and movies.
There will be some level of consumption changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be very, very hard to predict what level of, your consumption is changed. I mean, I think we all tend to answer that question rhetorically. But again, I come back to a number of things, and you know, we're sort of a herd animal. We do like to be around people. I don't see too many people saying, "Boy, I'm really happy with isolation."
Introverts are probably going, "Yeah, what I've been doing my whole life."
they're probably having a little easier time, but. Overall, I do think a number of things will come back into play from a consumption standpoint.
It'll come back. And then there's so many different things, though, out there that, you know, you said the supply lines. A lot of the supply lines have been disrupted, and it's going to take a while for that to happen, you know,
yeah.
Manufacturing and all this to kick back.
Yeah, the supply chain has been disrupted. And so there will be a number of things that will work.
What do you tell people? What do you tell people now? You tell your customers now. You know, somebody comes in and says, "Hey, Jeff, you know, I've got this. I got the Paycheck Protection Program, but my business is way down. I mean, you know, what do I, you know, I hear people that have got financial, they've got retirement plans. Should they pull money out of the retirement plan to keep their business going? And a lot of them don't want to do that.
I think just from a business standpoint and an individual standpoint, the recommendation that I had early on was the same. Look at your balance sheet. Get it as fortress as possible. Conserve. Buy as much insurance as you can. You know, one of the things, one of the analogies I used with my board of directors when we started looking at this is you don't get to buy additional house insurance after the house burns down. So anything you can do for protection, preservation, looking at it, you know, and this is one of the things that until we actually have more certainty again on our earning capacity, what's going to happen is, you know, a very conservative approach is going to set in. So wait a second. I don't have dollars to be frivolous. I don't have my discretionary amount is going to change. That will be the number that your propensity to consume is going to change based on what you view as how much discretionary dollars you have.
And that's gone way down for a lot of people.
Well, it has. And until there's certainty again, you know, there's a thing in economics called a permanent income hypothesis. When that's disrupted, that changes the mindset on consumption.
This has really been interesting. I'm really glad you could take some time to come in here and talk about this from the banking side and the economist side today. So thanks a lot for coming in. And we're distanced and all that. Hey, tomorrow, Dr. Mark Pierce, who's the man, who's one of the people that's doing the COVID-19 checks for people.